This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Kyle Hackey, Superintendent of the Southwestern School District. Welcome to the show, Superintendent Hackey.
Hello, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
We're going to discuss today something that was brought to my attention actually here just recently by State Senator Doris Turner, that the Southwestern School District had received what's called a Youth Careers Pathway Grant. And I'm not real sure exactly what that grant process is or what it exactly was, and we thought we'd take some time today to discuss that with you. And if you would you tell us a little bit about the grant itself?
Sure. The grant is through the Career and Technical Education Career Pathway State Grant. And our regional vocational system applied for the grant, which is Madison County. That's the vocational system we are in. And there are several schools, school districts that are in that region. And we were one of the schools that applied for this educational career pathway grant to be a part of it. And so we are a sub-grantee, and we're going to, again, hold... Have this program at our high school, and we're very excited about that. We think it's a great opportunity for our young people here, for a couple of reasons. One, we feel like it will, any opportunity that we can provide for kids is a positive. And we do have kids that are interested in going into a career in education when they attend college. And also, we feel like it's a great opportunity, selfishly, for Southwestern School District to sort of grow our own. We struggle right now in the areas of education of making sure that we have quality candidates and quality professionals. Education has been suffering statewide in that area, and this is a great opportunity for us to assist our kids, identify students and young people who wish to go into education as a career. And hopes that they possibly come back to Southwestern. I read a study not too long ago that said that a large portion of educators go back to teach in about a 20-mile radius of where they went to school and grew up. So there is a little bit of data out there that suggests growing your own is a good strategy.
Under this program, how will it work? Is a student identified you're going to be in this program? Or so how does it work as far as those students you spoke of that might be going back into teaching?
It will be posted as a class, as a course, just like any other class at our high school, at our high school level, at Southwestern High School, and kids will be able to sign up for this class. We will promote it, throughout the high school and throughout our community. It will be open to juniors and seniors. There will be a classroom portion of a class itself, a self-contained class, and then there will also be the second piece or second component to this will be a practicum where the students will get out into classrooms in our district and do some hands-on training of what a teacher, what teaching looks like, at the lower levels. And we're all excited about offering that to our kids.
And so it's posted as a class, as any other class. You say it was for juniors and seniors. Do you anticipate this then to be something ongoing, or is this just going to be for the junior-senior class underneath this grant?
Right now, we basically have a four-year plan for this grant. And right now, we're using the funds that come with this grant. We're using those funds to pay a small stipend to our instructor, to our coordinator, and then also the bulk of the funds are going to be buying the curriculum materials for the two courses that I just mentioned. So that's where it is. We have a four-year plan right now, and the bulk of the costs, are, again, the materials. So once we have those materials, we feel like this is going to be something that the district can sustain because the costs going forward are very minimal after purchasing the materials.
Will you have the possibility, or maybe you don't know, but would there be a possibility of a renewed grant of this type that might come down the pike?
There's always that possibility. We're not counting on it. Again, we feel like we can sustain it once we get through the bulk of the planning phase and the purchasing of the materials, the instructional materials. But there is always that possibility, and I would assume that, you know, if there are other school districts and other regions around the state that are using this grant as well. And I think if we would show that it is a good thing, it is a great promise, and it has great promise, and that we are, you know, developing a lot of young teachers through this program, I would say the state would be wise to, you know, to offer that, you know, grant or continue that offering, you know, to the public schools.
If I'm not mistaken, as you had pointed out earlier in the program, that is a big thing within the state of Illinois right now, a teacher shortage and teachers wanting to go, say, to particular parts of, say, Illinois or a particular district. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, we're lucky. We've been able to find really, really good candidates for all of our positions since I've been here. But I can tell you that the numbers of applicants just aren't there like they used to be 10, 15 years ago. We are struggling to find, you know, the quality and the number of applicants that we used to have. Again, fortunately, we've been very, very fortunate here to overcome any of those issues. But it is a struggle, and I know districts in our area are struggling as well.
Just for a point of clarity, this grant and this, I guess you would call it program, classroom availability for this new endeavor, that will be beginning what, with the next school year? Is that when it starts up?
It will, yes. It will begin next year with the 21-22 school year.
And a side note, aside from this grant that the Southwestern School District received, I thought I'd ask you, last year spoke with mainly all of the superintendents in the Maricopa County area. And, well, due to COVID last year, high school graduation was quite an individual thing, be it whatever school district it was. And things getting back a little more normal now for all types of things that go on in society. What have you decided or are looking at as far as your high school graduation coming up this year?
Last year, as I'm sure a lot of Southwestern Piasaw parents are aware, we had what we thought was a very successful drive-through ceremony. We did hear a lot of positive feedback from our parents and our community, you know, who felt like we did the most that we could for our kids at that time. Right now, we're looking at the possibility of holding a traditional graduation that would be in our gymnasium. Now, in order to make that happen, at the rate and allow the number of parents and family members of each graduate into the gym that we feel would make it successful, we need to hit that bridge phase. In the bridge phase, we would then be allowed up to 60% capacity of a gym, of an inside venue, and we feel at that point we could offer the number of tickets to each graduate that would make it worthwhile of holding our graduation in a, quote, normal, you know, traditional manner that we have here at Southwestern High School. There's no guarantee that we will reach the bridge phase before May when our graduation occurs. So we are still, you know, looking at other options, holding it outside, a drive-through, much like we did last year. So we're just kind of trying to hold off at this point and see where the data tells us or allows us, you know, directs us where to go. And then we're going to try and make a decision. Obviously, we're going to have to make that decision coming up fairly quickly in order for us to plan and get everything organized. But that's really what we're looking forward to, is to see if we can reach that bridge phase.
I know they've talked about, as far as COVID vaccination, things get a lot looser come April the 12th. And is that sort of a part of what the bridge phase may be for schools as far as what capacity they could have inside of a gymnasium?
Well, right now the bridge phase says that the biggest hurdle, I think, of the bridge phase, and there's a couple different components in order for us to reach the bridge phase, but the main one is to get the 65 and older crowd vaccinated at the 70% level. I believe all of our other metrics have to stay the same or improve. You know, the hospitalizations and that sort of thing, and the positivity rate, I think, has to stay low. But the biggest hurdle, I believe, is the vaccinating 65 and older at the 70% rate. Once we get there, then I think it's possible to move to the bridge phase. And, you know, of course, I think we're on pace to do that. But again, there are some other factors that have to at least hold constant in order for us to reach that phase.
One other superintendent I spoke with had talked about, I think at that time I spoke with them, they said they were where they could have the gym at about 25% or something like that. I'm not sure of those proportions, but would you consider, if you couldn't have the percentage you're wanting, would you consider a smaller percentage for graduation if that would occur?
All options are on the table. You're correct. I mean, at this time, we haven't really made a decision. We're trying to figure that out. You are correct in that right now, currently, we can have 20% capacity at an indoor venue. With our gym, that's approximately 400 spectators or 400, you know, parents or family members, if you will, of our graduates. And that, you know, that's not ideal. You know, when you give a graduate, you know, three tickets or four tickets and say, you know, you need to choose which family members you invite, that gets a little, it's less than ideal. So at that point, if that's where we're at, you know, looking forward in a few weeks, we may have to look at something outside where we could have more parents and more participants, more family members and friends of the graduates, because we certainly know that this is a big event for a high school senior to graduate, and it is something that needs to be shared with your family and friends, and we would hate to have to limit it that much, you know, without at least looking at the possibility of holding an outside venue, and therefore expanding the amount of people that could come.
Do you have sort of a, I guess you would call it a drop dead date, when the school board would just have to, no matter what, where they're at, make a decision as to what they will do?
No, I hate to put those dates on there, because as you've seen, as soon as we make a decision, the Illinois Department of Public Health, or and to no fault of their own, they come out with guidance that changes what you just decided. So I really like to not have a like you said, a drop dead date where we would have to make a decision by, if things are trending in the right direction and we feel very confident that the regulations might change, or we might move to a bridge phase or a different phase, then I think we need to keep an eye on that and stay stay a little flexible with when we make that final decision.
The sporting world, I think, in high schools is a proof of it can change on a given any time.
Absolutely. And again, through no fault of IHSA or IDPH, they're trying to make the best decisions they can. But it seems like every time that we make a decision as a board or as a district, 2 days later, something comes out that changes everything that we just decided. So we need to stay flexible. And we need to be able to make those decisions when appropriate.
Superintendent Kyle Hackey, thank you for joining us on the forum this weekend.
Well, thank you, Rick, and please call anytime. I appreciate you having me on.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.